Hi, my name is Mike Gibb. I run accountsrecovery.net, and I'll be moderating today's webinar on how automation can help improve efficiency. Nobody doubts the impact that technology has had on the credit and collections industry, but there are still collection agencies and creditors performing tasks manually that could probably be done automatically, saving them time and money. Today, a panel of credit and collection industry executives will share their insights into how companies should be adopting a culture of automation. This webinar is being generously sponsored by InterPros. You'll get the chance to hear a little more about them a little later in our program. I want to take a quick minute and say a few words about accountsrecovery.net. Accountsrecovery.net is a news and information platform for the ARM industry. The site publishes unique and curated content, maintains a number of email newsletters, hosts webinars like this one, and offers a number of exciting podcasts for the ARM industry. The site is free for anyone to use and is a great resource of news and insights to help educate and inform. I hope you'll all spend a few minutes every day checking out what it has to offer. Now, let me tell you a little bit about today's speakers. Keith Barthold is CEO of DKV Innovative. Keith is a proven leader focused on driving business goals, including cybersecurity and compliance, operational efficiency, revenue growth, and enhanced profitability. While establishing DKV Innovative, Keith enjoyed a 10-year career at Perot Systems Dell Services with a number of notable accomplishments, including growing a $20 million application portfolio and leading delivery for Tenet Healthcare's hospital EMR and patient management applications. Julie Hughes is a senior product manager at True Accord. She works across teams to launch strategic product updates while maintaining a high level of compliance. During her time at True Accord, she's worked on many aspects of the product, from building enterprise integrations to managing payment processing. She currently oversees a consumer experience, which includes their interactions on the True Accord website. Ryan Wiswell is a vice president and third generation to lead Columbia Collectors, a collection agency in the Pacific Northwest with more than 60 years in the industry. Ryan came to join Columbia Collectors after his career in the Air Force. He was first hired as a collector and has also held positions as an account executive and system administrator. With his current position as vice president, he oversees five critical departments within the organization, specializing in research and development, hiring key talent, developing company strategy, and benchmarking for the organization. The format for today's webinar will be a panel discussion. We encourage everybody to submit questions, and we'll get to them when the discussion has concluded. To submit a question, please enter it into the question tab on your Zoom webinar control panel. This event is being recorded, and a recording will be made later today on accountsrecovery.net. As well, I just wanted to ask everyone to take a minute and fill out the survey that should pop up on your screen when the webinar is over. You'll also receive a link via email tomorrow to access the survey. Participating in the survey helps me develop content that is exactly what you're looking for and helps to find speakers you want to hear from. And one lucky survey participant will win a Starbucks gift card. So please take a minute and participate when you get a chance. With that, let's launch into today's discussion. And first, maybe I thought it'd be better to frame the topic, and let's talk a little bit about how each of you would define automation. And maybe Julie, we'll start with you.
Sure. Thanks, Mike. So to me, automation is simply taking the manual work out of something. So you can think about it, whether it's a simple task or more of a complex process, but either way, it's a really powerful tool for saving time and resources. At True Accord, we think about two different types of automation. One is around process automation, and the other is decision automation. So breaking this down a little bit, process automation would be, you know, where you take something that's really repetitive and you have a machine do it. So an example would be, like a dialer making a lot of calls at the same time. Decision automation would be when you really teach a machine to make a judgment call. And an example of that would be, deciding which payment offer to offer the customer, or, you know, the payment length to offer the customer. So, automation is really important for us here at True Accord, and it's something we're always thinking of, trying to make things less manual and focusing our time and energy on things that can't be automated.
Excellent. Good start. go ahead. Sorry, 1 second. Ryan, why don't you take a crack at how defining how you see automation?
Yeah, I think that was well explained, dividing into processes and into the operational side. And I know we have been looking at different types of processes, whether we're automating things on the back end from a technology standpoint, supporting our internal network along with cloud-based software that we're starting to integrate with, and then key processes within the collection software itself. And it depends on the tools that you use, whether they be legacy tools integrating with cloud-based tools as well. Automation process we find is we're trying to look at our employees and see whether or not we can make their process automatic. And in the simplest term, that's where we see automation. And if they need something to support that role, say something on the back end when it comes to connectivity or, you know, their day-to-day operations, we try to reduce the amount of issues that we have by automating those processes. So,
excellent, thanks, Keith. What about the work you're doing with collection agencies, you know, sort of in other companies in the credit collection space? What are you seeing in terms of how they define or how you define automation?
Yeah, so automation for us really extends deep into the data manipulation more than anything, with what we're working with specifically on our clients. And so especially as you get much larger, and we work with you know, collections agencies from 30 employees up to about 210. As they get bigger, as the creditors they're working with are larger, that data just gets much larger and much more complex. And so the less time you can have people spent, you know, focusing in on extractions and transformation of data and pushing that out to spreadsheets and measuring and putting that on dashboards and gamifying that data, the less that's a manual effort, then the better, because you can take you can reduce the number of human error type mistakes in that data, and two, you can redeploy those resources, use them in other ways, versus just, you know, focusing on manipulating data. Let the machine do that. Let's automate that and take a lot of those manual steps out.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Julie, circling back to your original answer in terms of dividing automation up between process or decision, are you or is True Accord sort of focused on both fronts equally? Is there more of an emphasis on one than the other these days?
Yeah, we definitely focus on both. I would say our bigger focus is on the decision automation. You know, we have a decision-making engine that we call Heartbeat, and this is kind of a core part of our product that decides, you know, how to reach out to our customers, what to send them, what channels, et cetera. So we have, you know, a machine making those decisions, and that eliminates, you know, the need for humans to spend time doing that, as well as, you know, increasing, you know, our compliance in various areas that we need to pay attention to. So the decision automation is a huge focus for us right now at True Accord.
That decision automation, that's coming from, you know, sort of all the other interactions that are happening within the company in terms of how the, you know, how come individuals are interacting with your website or making calls, and that's where all that sort of automation is coming from?
Yeah, definitely. There's a, you know, hundreds of factors that we may take into consideration when deciding, you know, what to do with a certain debt. That can be, you know, what kind of debt it is, whether it's you know, credit card or a different type of loan, the debt amount, you know, where the person is located, you know, if there's state specific rules that we have to pay attention to. Yeah, there's all kinds of information and data that we're using, you know, to plug into our machine learning models to make those decisions.
Yeah, I would say, if I could jump in there, when we're looking at, you know, more of a traditional collection agency like ourselves going, we used to work on old cards, you know, the 3x5 cards out of the, you know, index, and you'd pull them and make calls. It's moving on to computing in the early 1980s to what we have nowadays, where you have a lot of heavy lifting being done by computers and modeling and creating automation along with introducing AI into the systems, which is, I think, scary for a lot of agencies out there. It becomes very technically complex, and compliance is a huge deal with that. So managing that and scalability becomes a big issue. And I think that's a lot of problems that agencies are tending to find, is their ability to lean on technology and tech companies, or companies that can provide them knowledgeable ways to navigate connectivity, automation, and then having their own staff members having that knowledge set where they can implement these things is becoming a pivotal point for a lot of us. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, going back to the whole thing about relationships, where a lot of collection agencies build the relationships with their clients and even their debtors or our patients, customers, consumers, whomever that might be, that's a strong key point. So finding that relationship between managing a good debt collection effort and making sure you're having that human interaction along with getting the scalability of automation and bringing that to the table is a pretty hard task.
Yeah, it definitely is. And you know, we definitely have agents here that are available for customers to have that human touch if they need it. But we do find that you know, our digital collection strategy is much appreciated by our customers. But they do like having that, you know, the ability to email or call us if they do need. But I agree, it is a balance of, you know, not seeming like a robot when you're talking to these people.
No, yeah.
But also,
I would.
You mentioned.
You know, sorry, go ahead.
That's okay. Using technology is a way to help scale, especially when it comes to compliance, because you can code those compliance rules rather than having people remember them for, you know, all the host of reasons why you would need to, you know, have different compliance sets in place.
Yeah, what we tend to look at is with collections, you know, simply the objective is to collect the money. And nowadays you have ratings and reviews and all these take into accountability how well you collect as well. So your exposure now with the internet is such a large thing. Our way to automate and how we really dive in and look at automation is our key component of communication. And whether we're communicating with people on the phone or via letters through an automated process or a waterfall method or whatever strategy we implement that helps our staff members out and hopefully lower cost of operations, those things can get away from us real fast. So we try to take a keen note on how these processes are implemented. It almost can be a double-edged sword at some point, because if you do it wrong and you don't have the right knowledge on staff or hired, you can get yourself in some hot water really quick. So,
excellent. Well, I appreciate it. I'm excited for the start of the conversation we've had so far. I just want to hit the pause button briefly, and I'd like to invite Aaron Reiter from Interpro to say a few words. Aaron?
Thanks, Mike. Sorry, clear my throat. As Mike mentioned, I'm Aaron Reiter. I'm the director of marketing for InterPros. And I want to thank all the panelists and all the attendees for joining us today. We were thrilled to sponsor this webinar on this topic because it's very dear to our organization. If you're unfamiliar with InterPros, we're responsible for ACE. That's, if you've logged into the webinar via the computer, there's some great slides that are going by, and Mike included a bunch of information about our offerings. But we provide ACE, which is a web-based modern debt recovery platform. And part of our core focus is process automation. We're trying to eliminate every non-revenue generating activity we can, from internal processes to leveraging third-party tech that can further increase organizational efficiencies. So I don't want to take too much time away from these experts and their discussion. I just want everyone to know that if this topic is important to you, and it probably is because you're here, it's important to us. And if you want a partner that values automation and efficiency as much as we do, check us out at interpros.com. It's interprose.com. Got lots of resources and e-guides and content available. And thanks, everybody. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Aaron. And thanks again to Interpros for sponsoring today's webinar. Really appreciate it. Keith, curious, would like to get your perspective. What do you say on a scale of 1 to 10, how do you see the credit and collections industry doing at automating tasks that should be automated?
Yeah, I would give it a big solid 4. I think
that high.
That high, right. For what we see, there are still way too many spreadsheets out there or access databases being used to manipulate data, with the bulk of that dependent on one or two people that are sort of the experts in looking at data, sorting that data out, raising a hand if something has gone awry, be it performance of a particular account or a set of agents. It's a lot of staring at data when there are a number of resources out there to get past that hurdle. We look at data analytics and we look at BI. Getting your data plugged into a system with the appropriate workflow rules and thresholds, so that not only can that be displayed and consumed by leadership within an agency, but also red flagged if something goes awry in the process and it's out of expected thresholds that would have a direct impact on revenue and profitability of that agency. We should be able to programmatically see that and alert leadership as to what's going on, and then take appropriate actions from there. We shouldn't be relying on a person just to stare at the screen and figure that out and make those decisions. There's just too much technology that's available to do that, to create efficiency. And then you can take that that time spent and reuse it on improving process, on doing the things to make your agency more efficient, and not just staring at a screen and manipulating spreadsheets. It's just too prone to error as well, and so I don't think people are taking advantage of that like they should.
Yeah, Keith, I agree with you 100%. I hate to say it, but I would give, at least from my perspective, the industry as a whole, probably around a 4, maybe a 5. I don't know if I'd want to shoot that high. But a good telltale sign from us is simple automation of companies. When we're forced to work with rising technologies, I'll throw a name out there because most people would know it in the healthcare sector, Epic Systems. Epic is a good software system, a leading software system that many large companies in the healthcare industry are using, and they are requiring easy integrations. They're requiring automation of data to go back and forth with a lot of these companies that have been sold, because they're seeing the potential of all this. And the collection industry as a whole, for the most part, is having a hard time keeping up, especially older software companies that are, those legacy softwares that are written on old code or old languages that just are having a hard time keeping up with modern day tech. I honestly, looking at, things that are hosted solutions, that are cloud-based solutions, that are written on languages that can talk back and forth, they're the ones that are going to get more legs when it comes to getting clientele and moving things forward. The fundamentals of collections, I don't think, are going away per se, but the ones who can automate and make things faster and communicate better and give more availability online to new generations that are unfortunately getting in debt are going to find themselves cutting out their abilities or making links with new clientele. So the four also rates, I think, another huge topic that is hard for those people who know technology and know the power of it and can get in and understand it. That it's a great thing, but turning around and educating that to your collectors, to your marketing people or sales staff members is hard. So I think in order to make the industry as a whole and all of us being in that industry a great thing that can elevate to maybe a 5, a 6, or a 7, it has to be a competency level that's educated to our staff members. And there's good companies out there, Antipros I've actually looked at, and it seems that they have a good team over there to help educate and elevate things. But we've created internal documentation and trying to do training classes just to help get our staff members up to speed with understanding this. And sometimes it's a lot to grasp and a lot to handle as far as that process. Once we automate everything, it's fine, but we still need people taking a look and seeing if something's wrong. And that takes a certain level of competency. So,
yeah, I'd agree. We're probably in the 4 or 5 as an industry. I think there's been progress on process automation, and also decision automation, especially around who to call based on factors such as propensity to pay models. But I think that since phone calls and paper letters are still the bread and butter for most agencies in the industry, that's a real problem there, because it's just hard to analyze what's happening on phone calls, and if people are reading their letters, and if you don't have that data that's digital, then it's you can't really make decisions on automation if you don't know how your customers are reacting. So I think there's progress that's being made, but there's a ton of room to grow in terms of what is possible to handle via automation. And I'd agree that part of that comes with just having the know-how from the employees on understanding the data and what's happening and where this automation can take place. Where's a good place to start there?
Yeah. And I just thought of something else to add to that. One limitation that we have is unfortunately the legal requirements that we have to follow. There's a lot of issues with telephony and, what do we do if we want to send out push notifications or have that awesome app that integrates automatic, communications, and how do you deal with a lot of that stuff? Some of those things, unfortunately, still are being worked out as far as whether it's, legal under the FDCPA. So, that I think in and of itself holds us down quite a bit.
Do you think it's that fear or that uncertainty, about potential legal issues or compliance issues, more so than a fear of making the financial investment, even though that we'll get to, you talked about the ROI, that, this is going to make you either reduce your headcount or make you more money by allowing you to do more tasks. Do you think it's one more than the other that's sort of holding the industry back, Ryan?
I kind of believe it's not just one clear answer. So it might be a demographics thing with who's running the company to where that company is, whether or not it's a financial investment versus a legal uncertainty. I think a lot of that plays into factor, but I do know a lot of people tend to look at legal because when you get sued, it's not fun. No one says that it is. And then you have to fork out money that you could have used for investment otherwise. The pitch is if you automate things and make it easier for your consumers, patients, and debtors, then hopefully with that process of making them feel better paying their bills, they won't be so upset. That's the basics going back to communication. If you communicate well and everything's okay, then hopefully you don't have those issues. We all know that not everybody out there, you know, communicates well, and they tend to lash out. There are predatory debtors out there, and a lot of agencies don't want to open themselves up to legal issues, let alone a class action lawsuits either. So I think that scares off a lot of people when it comes to automating. But the reality is, too, you have the tech industries, or even, you know, your general industries that are moving so fast, it's becoming a requirement. And to have an edge in the industry, you have to adapt to these things. So you really are playing a tightrope walk, and that depends on who the agency owner is. Hopefully, I see automation becoming more of a proponent, because I see it being very successful in collections. I mean, there's a lot of data and a lot of information that people just can't analyze fast enough that machines can do.
I would add that at TrueAccord, you know, we get far less complaints and lawsuits than I've heard traditional agencies get. And I think a big part of that is because we have been able to automate so much of those compliance rules. So yes, there's still decisions being made on you know, various rules and laws around new ways of using technology to service debt. But I think, you know, people shouldn't be scared to use technology, because it often creates a much better customer experience. And that's why we're here. We're trying to get people out of this situation and, you know, meet them where they are, and, you know, how to talk to them in, you know, either digitally or over the phone if they prefer, and have a lot of different options for them, and, you know, what works best for their situation. And I think in today's day and age, you know, digital means of communication is the preference, at least, you know, for that initial contact.
Yeah, I agree. What do you think, Keith? Did we lose Keith?
Yeah. Sorry about that. I'm here. Sort of bits and pieces.
That's all right. I had a question for you, Keith. Following up on what you're talking about before with the, you know, the massive amount of spreadsheets that a lot of agencies are using to sort of manage their operations, and how they're relying on one or two individuals to sort of be in charge of that. I think there are probably a lot of heads around the country that are listening to this, you know, shaking their heads up and down and agreeing with you. So my question to you is this: how should they start to get that, you know, to sort of migrate from that model to something that's more automated?
Yeah, so I think the best place to start is really looking at your data flows and mapping that out. I mean, that's what my company, DKB Innovative, where we start at the very beginning, and a lot of agencies can do this themselves, is making sure that you have really good documentation on not only your processes, but where the data flows are. You know, this industry is all about taking data and extracting data from your clients, you know, from the creditors that you're working with, or the health system, and pulling it into your own system to then sort through, analyze, and work with your callers, with your collections agents. And so really having awareness of where that data is coming in, and then what the actions are that are being performed by your employees, that's key, because I think that's one of the hardest things, is just identifying what is it that your people are doing and what are those manual processes. Because if you're a person that is processing that data and you're in the trenches day by day, sometimes it's hard to step back and go, okay, I'm doing this in a manual way, and when I add all of the time up that I'm spending manipulating this spreadsheet or working on this database, you know, it's 10, 20 hours a week, or maybe it even becomes a full-time job. And that seems to tend to creep up on agencies, and they don't realize that you know, hey, time out. We could automate this and we can use that person in a different role. And so it really just starts with getting in front of some whiteboards, getting Visio pulled up and diagramming where that data is coming from and what actions are taken.
And I also add, you know, sometimes automation can seem scary. It's like, oh, we've got all these manual tasks. How do we get from extremely manual to 100% automated? You know, you can take things one step at a time, and maybe there's some internal tools that you can develop to help your staff, you know, with their workflows, and you don't have to go full-blown automation right away. But tooling can really help with some of that that time suck of some of those really manual processes. I'd also recommend just reading up on, you know, blogs, attending conferences, and learning about how others in the industry are really adapting to new technology and automation. You can get some really good ideas there. You know, TrueAccord has a blog where we post a lot of articles about what we're doing and our journey to automate. So that can be a good starting point as well.
I think also getting the leadership together to really talk about what does the end state look like, or what should that look like? You know, sometimes it's just being able to get all of the supervisors, all of the leadership together in a room and go, it'd be nice if we could do this. It sure would be nice if we had visibility and just transparency into our data, into what's going on for each of our accounts, if we were able to display that, and if our agents were able to see that data, supervisors were able to see that data, and then take actions off of that. And so really understanding what are the key metrics and how are we going to display that, and then sort of work backwards to go, how can I capture that data and how can I pull it out of all the data that's flowing through this agency and display it. Some of that's going to be daily reports, weekly reports, putting it on flat screens to where everyone can see it. But I think we need to dream bigger and go, this is what would be nice, and then figure out how can I get to there.
Yeah, I want to speak on some of the older agencies. I think what makes it hard for a lot of them out there is they've been doing things for a certain way and they've got so much going on. Obviously, the objective of any company is to make money. So when you are realizing that automation sounds good, but you know, one of the issues we have seen is clean data. Or going back and reorganizing that data so it is malleable and that you can automate it, that it's standardized, is very important on the back end. So when you're designing your workflow and you're trying to automate, you realize how much investment you're having to take away or put into this new process. Ultimately, down the road, it sounds like it's going to be a great thing, but you have to almost invest more money or stop production to meet this new process. And that's a hard thing for, I think, agencies to take on. You know, do we slow down or do we invest man hours in designing this new process, or having the clean data, which isn't really productive for making money, but in the long term, it makes it a lot easier when you're organized from a data standpoint. It's just like a good filing system. If you have it well organized, it's very efficient. If it's disorganized, it's chaos, and it makes it very hard on whoever's using that system to do anything well. So.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think it's an investment that needs to be made. It might be hard to kind of put the brake on things temporarily, but you know, we live in a world where, you know, automation and digital strategies and the cloud and data, those are all, you know, ruling. Yeah. So you have to kind of adapt if you want to stay relevant. So taking that time to make sure that you have clean data and you're tracking it appropriately so that you can actually use it to automate and make decisions is it's an important thing to start now if you haven't already.
I would say that that's probably the best place to start, is having some core rules, processes, and procedures. Not overwhelming people, but when you have those fundamentals down, it makes it a lot easier to integrate. And as you build more and more complex automation systems, those rules hopefully will help you navigate those. Whether you're transferring systems and onboarding onto a new collection software or building a new API to utilize a new cloud-based tool or whatever that might be, it all starts with good organization and good policies. And if it becomes too cumbersome, it really is counterintuitive to automation in and of itself. It's supposed to be easier. It's supposed to make us more money. It's supposed to make things more robust. So that it can be a double-edged sword if it's not done right.
We've got a question that's come in from the audience, and I wanted to just sort of take a break and ask it, A, because it's a good question, but also B, just as a reminder to everybody, if you have a question for Julie, Ryan, Keith, or the panel, now would be a great time to open up your Zoom webinar control panel, type it in and shoot it over to us so we can try and get to it before the end of the webinar. The question that's come in is, what type of automation do you suggest to contact debtors? And the questioner supplies a couple of different types, texting, ringless voicemails, or direct drop voicemails, dialer, etc. Does anyone want to take that one first? Don't all jump in.
I'll jump in on that one. Julie, I think sure. You guys have quite a bit of automation going forward. But again, from where we are, you know, a lot of that has, again, that question of legal obligations. I would love to jump in and start doing texting and sending out reminders and having the integrations to apps online. But dialer systems are great. We've used those before. It's a nice way to turn things on, turn them off. And it's based on the company. You can set your own policies on those. I would say whatever you implement, utilize that data that's being run back and forth to strategize and analyze what's going on. It will help predict things, and you can measure whether you're being successful or not. We personally like VoIP integrated software for our telephone systems because it's capable, and we can build things in API wise. One of my dreams that I'm going towards is being able to have a laptop and have everything there that you need. Your database, your software, your telephone system, your analytics, communication tools internally and externally. And I think that's where a lot of companies are going to be moving and should be moving.
Yeah, that's definitely my world. Luckily, everything is on my laptop. So I'm I feel very lucky in that sense. But also as far as where people should be automating, deciding on which communication channel to use, that's calling versus emailing versus SMS, push notifications, or a combination of all of those. People don't have a one size fits all as far as, only wanting one type of communication. So understanding your customers and what might work better for them is a really great place for automation. As well as deciding what kinds of offers to send customers based off of the creditor or the balance size and a whole host of factors. Another one would be around IVR. So taking payments is something that can easily be automated with software. You ask in the beginning of a phone call if somebody wants to speak to an agent or if they want to make a payment, then they can go through that whole process on their own and not have to talk to anybody. And it also makes the payment process more secure, which is great for compliance. Another one that TrueCore has been really focused on is around automatic replies to inbound emails that we get or inbound form submissions online. So we analyze our data and understand what are the main buckets of different types of contacts that our customers are emailing us in, and we're trying to come up with ways to automate some of those. Which if we can provide kind of a straightforward reply that meets 90% of the needs of our customers, then that's manual work that we're taking out of our workflows and providing a customer, you know, very quick reply since it is automated. So that's been a big focus for us. That's freed up a lot of our agents' time as we're able to automate more of those kind of contact buckets.
I'd like to shift gears for a second and let's start to talk about the ROI or the expense and sort of how you decide whether or not you're going to make this type of investment. I'm curious if you know you could walk through the potential return on investment that can be realized by automating tasks that are maybe are currently done manually, or talk about some of the ways that an agency should approach this analysis to sort of get a sense for what the potential upside is. Julie, can you take that one first?
Sure. I like to think about it as like what the opportunity cost is of not automating. If you can think about all the free time that you would, or all the time that you would free up for your employees by, you know, employing more automation, that's more opportunity for them to focus on things like client relationships, building out new features for your customers, building experiments to run, to measure results of doing, you know, one thing versus another, writing new content, and just simply growing the business if you don't have people doing very manual tasks. One stat that I pulled from our TrueAccord blog is that more than 90% of our interactions with customers are automated. So that means that each of our agents can handle 10,000 cases compared to the industry average of only 800. So we're able to employ way fewer agents because of our automation. And that's a huge cost savings for us. So there's a lot of different ways you can look at the ROI. But I think looking at it as far as the opportunity cost is a great way to start. Of like, what else could you be doing with that time and money?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, ROI to me is just scalability. If you can get more payments in with less effort, you're doing your job well, and automation provides that. What type of automation is the harder thing to choose? You know, what works versus not working? Are you going to have automatic dialing, dropping voicemails, texting? TrueAccord sounds like you guys have quite a bit of automation going on that's very successful, and that's good as well. But, you know, for some of the more traditional agencies, I think it kind of has a catch-22, because you start communicating these things to your collectors, and unless you have a ongoing education program built, or you have a nice path for these individuals to learn new skills or help, like you said, bring value to the company, they almost look at it as like a threat. So it makes it difficult to convince employees that automation is good, because automation sometimes means that your employee may be out of a job, which we really don't want. We want to educate them and, you know, keep our employees happy and healthy and providing for their families as well. But to get the most out of the investment with automation, you have to have a clear, precise plan. And what I would suggest is taking some trials and testing things out in small pools if you can.
Definitely. Yeah, I think experimenting with whatever you decide to start with as far as automation is really important. And for us, we do a lot of training and education for our agents, and we want them to see the value of automation because it actually makes their lives easier, and they're able to handle more of the high touch calls or emails that come in that might be more nuanced or specialized. So our agents definitely don't see automation as something that's taking away their job. It's something that's enhancing their job and actually making it for them to handle customer calls or cases.
I think when you look at back office automation, you also have to factor in mistake avoidance. If that's a big deal, if manipulating data manually and not hitting deadlines for connecting to clients and to pushing out data to clients, if transparency to your creditors is really dependent on a manual effort that's prone to mistakes, that's one way. And you know, it can be hard to tangibly come up with a hard ROI for that, but suffice it to say that increasing transparency and then being able to use that as a differentiator to surface what your numbers are and to continuously feed that both to leadership and to your clients, your creditors, there's got to be an ROI on that that, you know, you can establish versus, you know, doing it manually and not doing a good job at it where human error is involved.
Definitely. I would suggest looking into a tool that we use called Looker, and it does a lot of our reports automatically. So our analytics team will kind of code the data and the reporting that our clients are asking for, and we're able to send those out on a set schedule. And also we code alerts into Looker. So if something unexpected happens and somebody gets automated or notified, and we can look into it. So I agree, having some of that back office automation is really key as well.
Yeah, I can't agree with you guys more. You know, I often try to use an analogy, you know, going from different stages and like travel. You have the travel by horse and buggy, then you have, you know, your cars, and then your planes. Planes are faster, they're better. That's the equivalent of our automation and generation now. Everybody's wanting to go towards that, but to operate and run a plane, it takes more know-how. It takes more compliance that you have to go through. So you have to make sure that the plane's not going to fall apart going, you know, 600 miles an hour, and you're going to be having more catastrophic issues going at that speed. Likewise, if you add in a bunch of automation, if you don't have your checkpoints in place, things can go bad. So make sure you get those installed and you have your back-end office squared away as well.
Is there another industry or another segment of the financial services industry or somewhere else that the credit collection industry should be looking at in terms of how they take their cues with regards to sort of being more technology savvy, you know, looking to sort of, you know, foster this culture of automation and innovation? Is there somewhere, you know, like that's really got it nailed down or is really sort of trying hard that you've seen that the credit and collection industry can look to as a guide? Keith?
Yeah, I mean, I certainly think of financial services and how mature technology is in financial services in comparison to a lot of other industries. I mean, if you look at it definitely from a security standpoint and how precise it is, and that's really because they have to be, right? We see medical records falling, you know, behind that and trailing it, but for good reason. You know, there's a difference between being able to, you know, steal a medical record, as bad as that is, and as big an invasion of privacy that is, that's a little bit different than being able to manipulate numbers in your bank account, right? And so there's a real maturity there in, one, how they secure the data, and just visibility and transparency of the data. If you just think of it in simplistic terms, all the way down to, you know, an ATM, I can go to an ATM anywhere in the world and I can see what the balance is for my bank account. Just to have real-time data that's available and that we trust as secure is quite a bit further ahead than, you know, the arm industry is, than healthcare is. As far as what cues to take, I think maybe it's their willingness to adopt. And it seems a little scary and it seems risky. I can't imagine, you know, what's going through people's minds when the first ATM started showing up. And you go sort of from that, you know, I'm going to put go to a bank to where now it's available anywhere. But they're pushing things forward in a way that the ARM industry has lagged behind.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, we look at the same thing. We look at, you know, our types of clientele, and we look at where they're going as an industry. Those two that he was talking about, the financial industry and then the healthcare industry, are starting to have lengths that they're growing and that they're adapting. So trying to mimic those just for the purpose of keeping up with our clients to make sure that we have clients and our clients are happy is good. From a internal standpoint, just educating our employees, we use online education like EDX online or Coursera. They have free training programs you can go on and learn about data manipulation and coding and a lot of fundamental educational learning centers or fundamental things that you can go ahead and adapt. They give your staff members ability to grow, and knowing what goes on within the company and how you're implementing those things is very important. So that to keep up with those other industries, you have to educate your employees. So we'll use free training, and then oftentimes we'll go and we'll, if they want to have those certifications, we'll have certifications paid for, and sometimes we'll sponsor some of those classes, and we encourage our employees to venture out and learn new things, because ultimately that's how it's going to keep us competitive, is to constantly be learning and educating ourselves and growing, which automation is the new front, and beyond that it's going to be AI. So
yeah, I think it's important to you know, take inspiration from tech companies who are solving some really big problems and using some leading edge technology and automation, such as, you know, machine learning and AI. I'm lucky in that I'm based in San Francisco, which is in the heart of Silicon Valley. So I see you know, the advancements all around me. There's probably not a day that goes by that I don't see a self-driving vehicle that passes me by. So it's pretty crazy. We know the technology is out there. Luckily for us, debt collection requires far less automation than something like teaching a car how to drive itself. But on a more practical note for collections, there's a lot of tools out there that you know, offer services for those willing to use them, such as Twilio, which does unified call, text, ticketing solutions. And then there's Google Duplex, which is automated voice. So there's companies out there that can serve as both inspiration and more practical applications that people should be paying attention to, for sure.
We've only got a few minutes left, but before we break, what I'd like to do is maybe get a go around the panel and get a sense for what the horizon looks like, you know, where agencies should be looking at, you know, depending on their stage of automation. As we've discussed, you know, there are varying stages. There are people that are companies that are far further ahead than others. But, you know, if this is the horizon, if this is, you know, to take the analogy we used before, horse and buggy, car, plane, if the plane is coming and everyone's going to have to, you know, get used to being able to fly a plane, how, you know, what should agencies be looking at in terms of how to get there? Maybe if there's any practical advice or anything sort of actionable as this webinar is over, that they can go back into their office and say, hey, we should be looking at this to help us get to the point where we can fly a plane. Is there any information that any of you can share in terms of that? Ryan, do you mind starting?
Sure. I think I've brought up the whole education thing numerous times in this meeting, but I would go there. I would look at educating yourself through areas that are accredited. EDX, again, I think we lean on that heavily, just for fundamental education and getting up to speed. I know Microsoft runs some of their employees through edx.org. I would also look at Coursera as well. Also looking at organizing your data is another key point. Making sure your data is organized is very important, because at the end of the day, if you're going to try to automate things, if it's not squared away, you're going to have one heck of a time. So moving forward to learn how to quote unquote fly that plane, you need to make sure that things are organized, and then pilot test things. Also share with your employees what's going on and help run things through them so you can convince them to be on board, because ultimately, if you don't have your team behind you, it's going to be very problematic. I also brought up Epic as an example in the healthcare industry. That's actually a good company to watch. I think they're doing a very good job with creating unified records throughout the healthcare industry. I don't know if any of you guys have gone to the doctor lately, but if you open up their app, MyChart, which, you know, every hospital or, you know, healthcare company might put their own brand on this, but it's all going in the back end and it's being put together, and they're finding ways to circumvent HIPAA or acknowledge HIPAA by having you sign in and say, yes, I agree to do this. And what that's allowing is, just as your example with, you know, your ATM having your bank information wherever you go, you're having your healthcare records wherever you go. I see the collection industry going in that direction. And hopefully when we have a little bit more open communication amongst software systems, that maybe a debtor might be able to log in online and look at four different agencies and pay all their bills online. They may never have to interact with anybody, and it may be automated process. It might be a wonderful thing that we have down the road. Those are those types of things that we're looking forward to. And I'd say just don't be scared of moving forward. Take on a little bit at a time, because if you don't, you're going to be left behind.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Automation isn't an option. It's the necessity in my point of view. So I would start by just looking at your data that's available to you, even if it's a little bit messy. Evaluate your processes that are internal. Talk to your employees. What are their pain points, from both, you know, agents, but also other people's roles, and really just try to find trends and opportunities to start small, to automate, you know, small tasks, and just grow from there.
Yeah, I would say just, you know, looking at the data and looking at metrics and going, okay, what are the metrics? What transparency, what visibility do I need into this agency to make better decisions and really be data-driven in our decisions? Talk about flying an airplane. You're going to fly the plane better if you have a great instrument panel. If you're trying to fly it visually and just – you know, you hear your agents say they're too busy, or this is going on, or that's going on, and not having data to rely on that's surfaced through automation, it's going to be a lot harder to pilot the machine. And so having that data and then being able to gamify your workforce around it, especially in an industry that is notoriously high turnover, if you can gamify and use those metrics to really drive performance and improve your culture using automation, then it's a win. You can, you know, go further and further with it.
Excellent. Sorry, just making a note. Gamification, great topic for a future webinar. So thank you for that. We've run out of time, but before I let everybody go, I want to thank Keith, Julie, and Ryan for their insights and their participation today. Really appreciate them taking the time to share their information with us. I also want to thank InterPros again for sponsoring today's webinar. Please go to www.interpros.com to learn more about the company. Thanks for everybody who participated. One final reminder, please take a minute and fill out the survey, the feedback survey for today's webinar, for the opportunity to help identify topics and speakers that will be the best use to you going forward, and a chance to win a Starbucks gift card. Stay tuned to accountsrecovery.net for news and more webinars in the very near future. Hope everyone enjoys their day. Panel, thank you very much. Really appreciate it today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.